You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 177. And today, let's learn the secret to reducing stress in these uncertain times. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Profit Amplifier to Expertpreneurs, Melanie Benson. And today we are talking about stress, uncertainty, and what's happening in our body when all this stress is happening, right? And how we can take some steps to navigate that stress differently and bring the stress down and get ourselves a little more even keeled. And on a personal note, before I bring my guest expert on, I had to say that learning how to navigate stress and recognizing that there's going to always be things going on around us that are stressful, especially at times like this, and we can actually take some steps to reduce the impact, the negative impact it's going to have on our bodies. And I've also noticed that when we learn how to navigate stress a little more resourcefully, we actually make better decisions. And in all the years I've been working with entrepreneurs, it's 20 years this year, mind-blowing, right? I've noticed that one of the things that really produces a lot of stress is not knowing what to do, what's going to move the needle, what's really going to amplify our income, be able to accelerate the results we're imagining. And so I have studied what really has moved the needle for my clients that are in Amplify Mastermind, what's really working in my business. And what I came up with is there are 7 key areas that we assess and create strategies to amplify. And I put them together in a very easy to read e-course that goes over 7 days. And I'm giving you access to it. You can get it at profitamplifiers.com. So that's profitamplifiers.com. I will put that in the show notes for you as well. And when you sign up for this free 7-day e-course, here's what I'm going to show you: how to monetize your best superpower, what the trick is to leveraging your time and talent so you get bigger, better results, the key to really simplifying effort to multiply and amplify the results you're getting, why it's important to optimize your marketing for better conversion. I'll give you a little secret to that. And why it's really critical to energize your body, mind, and soul so you have sustainable momentum and inspiration. What it means to amplify a millions mindset. And here's the secret behind that. It is the one thing you can do to put your success on autopilot. And last, what it means to elevate your influence and things you could be doing right now to get you in front of your best clients. Okay, so, and when you do that, you get a bonus of an invitation to my community of amplifiers. It's all at profitamplifiers.com. Now, let's get into today's episode. Well, I'm excited to talk today about stress, success, and how to navigate stress during uncertain times. My guest today is Dr. Elizabeth Hughes, who is a Stanford-trained physician with more than 25 years of clinical experience. After treating thousands of patients with stress-related illnesses and having her own life nearly ruined by stress and chronic anxiety, she realized that the conventional medical approach is completely inadequate to treat stress-related conditions, and she vowed to find a better solution. And today, her quest has led her to study non-Western systems of health and healing, placebo research, all kinds of stuff around epigenetics and psychoneuroimmunology, and a whole bunch of stuff I can't pronounce. But in the process, she has developed the Stress Antidote System, which is a unique process to turn off the body's harmful stress response, and is helping clients all over the world really overcome those oftentimes hidden root causes of stress and reverse those symptoms before they become chronic illnesses we can't heal from. So Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining me today. Should I be calling you Dr. Hughes or should I call you Elizabeth?
Please call me Elizabeth Melanie. And it's so good to be here. You knew that.
Yes. Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure we're really honoring you. You know, as we're bringing this conversation to my community, we're in the midst of probably one of the most stressful times in our, the trajectory of this lifetime for many of us. We're dealing with the coronavirus and a lot of unknowns and a lot of things that nobody can control and nobody really understands. And so I was really excited to bring you on because originally what I was excited to talk with you about is this idea of the pervasive stress around business and success and, you know, how anxiety, chronic anxiety is plaguing people. And now we've got this whole other thing to talk about. So we're going to talk about both today.
Okay.
You know, let's first kind of get the foundation in place and talk about why is stress and anxiety, and I think to some degree depression, becoming so rampant in the business and entrepreneurial communities?
Wow. Well, I would probably take it back to the idea that we don't really understand what stress is. And when I say we, I mean just sort of the general person thinks that stress is a deadline, a bad commute, a miscommunication, someone else in their life who's sick or something like that. And that's not stress. That's a stressful event, a stressful situation. But stress itself is this feeling that may be both an emotion, like feeling overwhelmed, trapped, powerless, as well as physical sensations. When I use feeling, I mean both. And so it could be your heart pounding. It could be feeling, you know, cramps in your stomach. It could be muscle tension in your neck, a headache. So that really is stress. And that is a sign that your nervous system, on a really, really basic level, believes that it can't survive. It has flipped into this survival mode. Now, unfortunately, most of us, and I will say this for me, especially having gone through medical school, come to accept this feeling of stress on a really gut level as necessary for our not just our survival, but for our success. Like, we have to feel bad in order to get the good, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense when we say it logically, and yet it's kind of in our unquestioned set of beliefs. And so, of course, we're going to feel anxious. Of course, we're going to feel depressed. Of course, even if we feel successful, we're still not going to feel safe in that way that we really need. So I think that that is especially compounded if you are a person who's responsible for a business, a company. You're going to have all of those stressful events, but laid over this feeling of lack of safety. And that's why stress is such a big problem. And that is exactly what I think needs to change in order to really affect health in general, as well as productivity and happiness and all that other good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what I'm really, it was like a real game-changing moment for me when I heard that there's things that are good stressors and there's things that are bad stressors and that not all stress is the same. And I love your distinction that there's stressful events and then there's stress, right?
Right.
And I want to unpack this a little bit more because I think a lot of people are dealing with significant illness-producing stress and anxiety. And like you said, like it's this, they're not recognizing it and they don't have to have it be impacting them that way. So right. I don't know. Let's unpack that good stress versus bad stress, and then we'll go a little deeper with it all.
Absolutely. So yes, there are studies on types of stress and situations that are good. So I'm going to talk about one of the big studies about this, which took basically college students, recruited college students, and had them go through what's considered a standard stressful situation, which is a timed math test with a stern observer, basically, you know, saying, are you sure you want that question? Are you sure you're answering that right? Followed by having to give a speech, sort of an off-the-cuff speech. Both of these were short periods of time, you know, so that the whole study took less than an hour. But what happened was, for one group of people, they were told that the stress response they were feeling, nervousness, jitters, feeling unsettled, they were told that that stress response was helping their body to excel, helping them to succeed at doing the math test and doing the public speaking. And the other group was just told, given a lecture about the stress response or something like that. So the people who were under this short-term stress, and that short-term is important, that's why I'll come back to it, who understood that their body's physical response of nervousness or anxiety was actually beneficial, not only did better on the test and gave a better speech and didn't botch things, they also felt calmer in general than people who were just told the stress response exists. So it's important to unpack that a little more. It's important to realize that when you look at those stressful situations, if you can view the physical responses as, this is my body doing its job, it's getting me through this situation, that's a good thing. That will actually make you less stressed out. But the other important thing to realize is this was a short-term artificial situation. That in this case, people were doing something in a study setting. It took an hour max or so. And they knew it was going to end. So bad stress comes when you don't have a feeling of being empowered. You don't have an understanding of what your body's physical sensations might mean, and that they might mean that something's going right, not wrong. And when there's no end in sight, which unfortunately for most of us, you go from out of the frying pan into the fire a lot of times.
Yeah. I was just recognizing myself that, I grew up under a lot of stress. So I think it was a pattern that kind of, I just got used to that body feeling for so long, and absolutely, how unconsciously we go out and replicate stress over and over and over again.
Right. And I know for myself, people who would draw boundaries and say no to things that weren't, you know, that made them seem like, oh, you're not being a team player. It's like, no, they just knew the stress response wasn't right. And they were so tuned in, and it wasn't a bad thing at all.
How does epigenetics factor in to stress?
So, at the risk of getting a little too technical, let me back out just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So every time you have an emotion, and I mean this like any emotion, joy, happiness, excitement, grief, sadness, or stress, your body is producing hormones. And those hormones go to every cell inside of you. Every cell has hormone receptors. And one of the things that the stress hormones do is it alters your DNA to produce more, basically alters the function of a cell so it works under these stress survival situations. Now, DNA is quote unquote altered basically by turning on certain genes and turning off others. And that's where epigenetics comes in. Epigenetics is the science of how genes are expressed. when, where, how much, what turns them on, what turns them off. And stress hormones are some of the biggest triggers for epigenetic change. Mm-hmm. So that over long periods of time, maybe beneficial genes will be turned off or inactivated for long enough that it's almost like they're not there anymore. And you see this actually in twin studies. Twins, when they're born, are genetically identical, but as people get older, their gene patterns diverge to the point where they can be, you know, just siblings, not identical copies. And a lot of that has to do with stress and the amount of stress a person's been under, the and their response to the stress.
Oh my gosh, I'm so fascinated right now. And so I'm imagining, because I've had to do a lot of my own understanding of how some of the physical illnesses and chronic stuff that I'm dealing with as an adult at 50 plus years old, where these things came from. And so I'm imagining there's a great link between those chronic stressors and the shift in epigenetics that lead people to this plethora of autoimmune issues and illnesses and things that people are dealing with today.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. But here's the good news. Those genes that have been turned off aren't gone. It's not like they've been deleted or removed. They're still, and your body knows how to make them active again. If your body, you know, none of us, not even the most brilliant scientists, can explain exactly how the body knows how to repair that genetic alteration, but it does. And you see that when people, you know, who've had, let's say, life, you know, years and years of diabetes, actually reverse it. You know, they've changed their metabolism. People reverse autoimmune diseases. They've changed their immune system. The good genes are still there. It's just a matter of letting the body get back into its balance. And then it does its job.
That is encouraging. I love that that's where we're going with this, because I think there's a sense of hopelessness when you have a chronic illness or you've got stress all the time that keeps you from wanting to go to that next level, or keeps you from being able to go achieve your goals or get your work out there in a greater way. And if you know that there's a way to reverse it and to heal and to really bring back this idea that you can actually reclaim that health and vitality, I guess, then maybe you can achieve these things that you put on hold.
Well, not only can you, my whole philosophy is based on the fact that you will achieve by moving towards that. I mean, you're in the big picture, we human beings are here for a purpose. Each of us has our own purpose, our own joy, our own way to find and express ourselves, which is what we as entrepreneurs do more than probably anybody else. And really diving into that purpose and bringing it forth is actually in and of itself healing for the body.
So I mentioned earlier when we started this conversation that we're bringing this conversation out at a time when we're dealing with the coronavirus and the aftermath of the coronavirus and a lot of people in shelter at home orders. And it's a really unique time. And a lot of people are navigating it okay. And a lot of people are really stressed. They're losing their jobs. They're losing loved ones. It's producing probably a entirely new form of stress. What is it that we need to know about navigating this kind of uncertainty that maybe would help us keep from going into those major stress responses that are so long-term damaging?
Yeah. So I like to talk about putting healthful actions into your life. And some of them are things that we don't think about as key for our body, but they turn off the stress response. I mean, they just turn it off. So things like laughter, creativity, playing, breathing deeply, those are four of my 10. And we are, in a way, cursed by having this time when there's so much uncertainty. But if you can fill that space with some play, with strengthening relationships with the people that you can see, or even if you end up on the phone with people, if you can use that time to create and take some time with monitoring your breath, which on a minute-to-minute basis is powerful for stress. Actions like that that seem like, in our stress-induced world, our stress-saturated world, stuff like taking time to play and laugh seems like pointless. No, it's actually essential to your health. That turns off your stress response. And when your stress response is off, it's off. You get a break physically.
What advice would you give to a business owner who is dealing with a real deep anxiety right now, or all the time, maybe? here's a situation I see play out quite a bit, is somebody's dealing with an extraordinary amount of success, which has led to an extraordinary amount of stress. You know, they've really personalized this journey. Maybe they had a failure, or they feel like, overly caring for the people that work for them, and they're worried that, you know, whatever this next phase of business that we're all going to be entering into shortly is not going to provide for them. What would you say to someone to help them, like maybe tap into some of these healthful activities or change their approach so that the chronic anxiety doesn't take them out of the game?
Yes. Okay. So some of what I can offer people is just that intellectual understanding that stress is not, while it feels normal and natural, it's not healthy. And just having that acknowledgement that, wait, someone says this is something that maybe I shouldn't be doing, I think that relieves a lot of people that I know. Or at least a degree of the stress. It's also important to realize that when you are stressed out, your brain functions differently in many different ways. But the quickest one is you're just not getting enough oxygen to your brain, particularly the frontal part of your brain. So rather than throwing yourself into what can I do, which oftentimes leads to this cycle of, well, that won't work, is to actually take that time and step into what you know does work and has worked for you, and tap into your creative genius, which is still there. And you'll say, but Elizabeth, that it does actually help to reset your brain and get your all of your body back into more alignment with your natural health. And so it can seem like taking a step back or a step away from something that's important, but actually it's what your body really needs.
That's such great advice. Okay, so can we play out a couple other scenarios? I'm getting on a roll here now.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, so I'm just imagining the different situations I've either coached somebody through or I know come up for people that I love and care about. And here's a second one. So let's say somebody's going for a really, what I call a big, bold goal.
Yeah.
So they may be recognizing it's time to really play a bigger game. But the amount of things they don't know how to do is feeling very stressful for them. Mm-hmm. And it's taking them out of their motivation.
Yes.
What would you advise somebody to do in that scenario?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you, this is something that I wrestle with myself, and I will tell you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is perfect. So I really focus on what I'm really good at. That genius zone, that place where what I do is so natural and so can be sort of exponential in the output that I can do. And I have to let other people do the parts that aren't fantastic, that I'm not fantastic at. And I've got to admit that. So there is something, especially if you've got that big, bold goal that you think you are the only person who can actually do all of it, and you are 100% responsible for it. It's that idea of responsibility that comes with the idea of blame, which is, who's responsible for this? You can hear a parent say that. Where I take the idea of, I am response able. I can look at what's coming up and I can get a response. And the response might be, I'm no good at that. Like I can direct people to do it, but I can find help, and help's out there. Help is just dying to come and do your work, because what you find that you can't, you technically is something that you can't do, is somebody else's genius zone. And when we all have our genius zones working together, like, just imagine the possibilities.
I totally agree. And I know in my world, it's also recognizing that sometimes these are good stressors and not associating them with bad stress. Like, the good stress is that it's that catalyst. It's time to grow and expand and shift the way you're approaching something, which is what you just explained.
Yeah, you said more succinctly.
Well, I teach this one, so this one's in my genius zone, right?
Right.
I love that. Well, I'm imagining that along this journey, like, it's helpful to know what could be causing the stress that's coming up, and I know you have a free resource around that. Maybe you could explain what that is and how everybody could find that for themselves.
Yeah, so I have a resource around 5 hidden causes of stress that you can change right now. And much of what it is how we view our own health and our bodies as fragile or flawed, or ultimately we're all going to die and something's going to, ultimately something's going to fall apart to such an extent that it can't be fixed. And the truth of the matter is, we physically are incredibly strong, incredibly resilient. We can handle pretty much anything that's thrown at us. And somehow in the world of biology class, the opposite message gets instilled. And so recognizing the strength and the power you have within, first step.
I so agree. You know, I'm thinking I work with metaphors a lot in my own brain to help me overcome stressful situations. And I remember a time when my family wanted to go climb what's called Vernal Fall. Are you familiar with Yosemite at all?
Not greatly. I mean, I know where it is, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a very steep mountain. Very steep. And so literally you climb straight up something like 700 stairs. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was stressful for me. And so coming back to your point of, like, just take the first step. The only way I got through that was like, just take the next step. Just take the next step. Just take the next steps. And they can find this guide on your website, right? ElizabethHughesMD.com.
Yes.
I think that's a really great thing, is to understand where that stress come from. And do you talk anymore about your healthful activities in that guide or in the materials they get there?
I don't, but that's something that I've got in my in blog posts and videos they can go find.
Oh, great. Great. Well, if you were open to it and you want to shoot one over to me, I can link it up in the show notes for our listeners, because I think knowing what actions to take would be so helpful. Like, if they're recognizing that stress, and then what are these healthful activities, laughter, breathing deeply, getting creative, taking the first step, just having tools in front of you is so valuable. And I'm so glad we're talking about this today. And so before I get into my last wrap-up question for you, Elizabeth, I'm just wondering, you know, again, going back to this crazy time we're in right now, and I know you also deal a lot with healing and how to recover from illnesses and things like that. If somebody was dealing with some kind of chronic or illness, or they've got coronavirus or something equally challenging in their life, what's the most important thing someone could do right now to start recovering?
So, well, here's the... If a person is feeling stressed and that they know that stress is affecting their health, it's as so many of us are, and if they want to boost their immune system, which is a big topic, there is nothing like breathing, proper, deep, full breaths. And there's a host of things that does, including eliminating carbon dioxide, bringing in more oxygen, evening out blood circulation all around us, actually triggering the what's called the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the opposite of your stress response, in a very real fashion. There is, in the moment, there is nothing like breathing and breathing deeply and fully to totally change your biology. And we don't think about it that much. We think about what we eat and supplements to take, but we don't think about how we breathe. It's key. And so if I was going to leave you with one thing, breathe deeply, breathe fully.
Hmm. You know, it's so simple because we do it automatically, and yet so many people don't do it optimally.
Right.
And learning how to breathe deeply, learning how to just be present in that breath moment, I think is a real transformational opportunity for so many people. I'm glad you brought that up. I've been told since I was really young, like, you need to learn how to breathe differently. I was like, okay, I am breathing. How do you breathe differently? You know, unless you're taught, you don't always know that you are doing something ineffectively.
Right. Well, and I'll just share a brief moment. What I was, told that I wasn't breathing properly by a therapist years ago. And I was so angry. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm not breathing right? I'm breathing right. Of course, not breathing. My assignment from her on that day was, okay, so go home and take 10 deep breaths. And I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I was already practicing yoga regularly and I thought I could do it. And she's like, you're not breathing. It changed my life. It was a very bad few weeks. I was in tears. Like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. It hurts. But then it changed my life.
Well, what an interesting paradox to have something that we do as humans automatically and to be told we're doing it ineffectively or wrong, right?
Right.
And to recognize, like, oh my gosh, I haven't been breathing right this whole time. And yet it's so simple when you're cognizant of it, like, oh yeah, deep breaths. What does that mean? How does that change my biochemistry? How does that change my physical feeling state right now? It's pretty profound. And so as you're listening in, like, I want to run a little experiment with you, and I want you to come into the Amplify Your Success community and tell us, I believe Elizabeth's there with us. She will be.
Yes, I am. Yes.
We'll create a conversation around it. It's like, what do you notice differently this week by just breathing deeply? And maybe even if you started your day with 10 deep breaths, maybe at lunch or like around the midday for whatever that is for you, take deep breaths, 10 deep breaths. And then at the end, take 10 deep breaths. It's almost a tongue twister. And recognize what starts to change for you around your stress, around your ability to get mentally present, to see clearly. Like, I want to notice, I'm sure, Elizabeth, you're probably curious too, what starts to shift for everybody?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What clouds clear out of the way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of hidden benefits to this deep breath. And so come join us and be part of that conversation. We'll kick off a thread in the group around it, and Elizabeth can chime in and share her input. But I really want to hear, like, what your takeaway was from today's episode as well. And one of the great ways to do that is to chime in and tell us in the thread in the community that day. So, Elizabeth, I always like to ask my guests as we wrap up, what is the boldest thing you've ever had to do in your business to amplify and get the results you're getting today?
So I had to start speaking out against what conventional medicine says. Conventional medicine that says the body is just a machine, that what you think and what you feel doesn't matter. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And I will tell you, I throttled my own success for a long time because I was afraid to step out and be cast out of the tribe, so to speak. But once I made that change, once I made that shift and actually acknowledged and owned what I know to be the truth, things changed. Mm. Everything changed.
Yeah, it takes a certain level of courage to speak out against the industry standards. I certainly know I've done my share of that.
Yeah, and, of course.
Rattle the cages a little bit and say, no, there is a better way, especially in a system that is as deeply rooted as the medical system is. What, and now I'm super curious, like, what did you notice was different or better on the other side of like letting yourself really share your message authentically?
So every time I walked into a conventional medical office, and I would have to just, it was almost like self-censorship, what I could say. I'd put on the white coat, and a person would ask me a question like, and this is a great one, it's what get me started. People would say, well, you know, do you think stress has a role in how they were feeling? I'm a dermatologist, so there's a lot of stress-related illness like psoriasis and eczema and acne. And people would ask me, do you think stress has anything to do with it? And I had to give the party line, which was, yeah, maybe, but we don't really know how, and it's not that important. So here, take this pill. And inside, it was tearing me apart. I mean, talk about stress. I mean, forget a deadline, having to speak something other than your own truth, total stress. And so that's how things change for me, is I don't feel all the time like I'm throttling myself or censoring.
Yeah. I think that's a profound opportunity for growth for anyone who is like holding themselves back from sharing their true message. It's really hard to grow your business and grow your clients and grow your financial prosperity when you feel like you're holding yourself back, because those dots are all connected. Oh, so thanks definitely. For sharing that example, and that having the courage to get out and share the truth really is expansive for your business and the impact you get to have.
And when people, I'll just chime in here, and you think that it's going to be more stressful and you're afraid of that leap, but it actually just takes a total weight off your back.
So it helps you eliminate some hidden stressors.
Bingo.
Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining in our conversation today and sharing this great wisdom and really illuminating the impact stress is having on our bodies and carving out a path that we can start to shift that and experience a little more energetic expansiveness in the world.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for having me, Melanie. This has been so fun.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.